Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, your flight to Bristol has been delayed once again. But for your entertainment purposes, please listen to the Baggage Claim Monday edition of the Baseball Tonight podcast with Buster Olney. The White Zone is for immediate...
That's right. This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Wednesday, July 14th, 2021. I'm Buster Olney. It is a Baggage Claim Wednesday. I'm actually at the airport in Denver the morning after the All-Star Game. Taylor Schwenk is producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut. Taylor, I'll start with this. I don't know if Tim Kurkjian's going to take our calls anymore.
Oh, boy. Big time alert. We need a big time alert. Sometimes you'll be like, oh, I texted so-and-so, and that's big time. But what's going on with Tim? This truly is big time.
Yeah, he was nominated for the Baseball Writers Award at the Hall of Fame yesterday, along with Alan Simpson of Baseball America fame, the late Marty Noble of Newsday. There will be voting between now and the winter meetings. And with all due respect to Alan Simpson, to Marty Noble, just the folks I talked to yesterday said, yeah, Tim is almost certainly going to win the voting. And he'll be making a speech in Cooperstown in 2002. So I feel like that, and you know Tim, I mean, you know, Tim is not someone who's ever going to call attention to himself. I think that for his open moving forward, we got to do something that, like, some sort of a regal thing, maybe like trumpets, you know, that sort of something you would do for a king. What do you think?
Yeah, I like where your head's at. Yeah, definitely. Maybe a harp thrown in there, you know, whatever.
Right.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. But it'll definitely be, you know, correctly labeled on this podcast. So, future Hall of Famer. Very exciting for him.
Yeah, and he wasn't telling anybody yesterday, which doesn't surprise me, given his personality. I rode to the airport this morning with Carl Ravitch. And I said, hey, did you guys do something about Tim and the Hall of Fame on Baseball Tonight last night? He looked at me, goes, what are you talking about? They didn't know. Like, there's no news of it anywhere. We did talk about it on ESPN Radio in our broadcast of the All-Star Game last night. And I got the sense, just in the 5 seconds Tim talked about it, that he was feeling pretty emotional about it. Feeling very honored. All right. So yesterday, before that happened, Rob Manfred, baseball commissioner, met with reporters, and he told them that seven-inning doubleheaders and the extra-inning runner at second base rule likely will be dropped next season. Both were adopted for the shortened 2020 season and kept on for 2021. I don't know if I'm taking this at base value. I'll be talking about that with David Schoenfield coming up. Manfred also looked to add pressure on East Bay officials on Tuesday, intentionally or not, saying the process of keeping the Oakland Athletics from relocating is at, quote, the end, and stating that this is, quote, the decision point for Oakland as to whether they want to have a Major League Baseball team moving forward. Shohei Ohtani told reporters yesterday that he wants to go back to the Home Run Derby in the future, which would be a ton of fun. There'll be a lot of conversation about that leading up to next year and the question of who can beat Pete Alonso. All right, in the All-Star game, Max Scherzer was on the mound at the start and had a nice moment.
And Reynolds shaded to left center a touch. The 2-2. Swing and a foul tip into the mitt of Real Muto. A strikeout for Scherzer. And they go 1-2-3.
That was Boog Sciambi on ESPN Radio. And, of course, all eyes were on Shohei Ohtani. First hitting and then pitching.
Here's a 1-2. Swing and a high fly ball lifted in the air left field. Hernandez back in now a bit and makes the catch. A 1-1. Hit on the ground, right side, charging in into his right. Simeon collects, throws the first, and Muncy is out. Swing and a bouncer out to short. Big hop taken in by Bogarts, who flips on the move and throws out Nolan Arenado.
During Arenado's at bat, there was one pitcher on Ohtani at 100 miles per hour. The American League took the lead in the top of the second.
The 0-2 is hit on the ground towards third, rolling. Arenado picks it up, throw to first, not in time, and in to score. Aaron Judge from third, and it's 1-0 AL.
And the American League would extend their lead in the top of the third.
Swing and a high drive, deep left field, way back and out of here. An absolute no-doubter to left for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Crushed it. 468 feet later, and he's flexing, pointing to his bicep as he goes past Tatis and takes his time around the bases.
So during the All-Star game, I was working in the American League dugout for ESPN Radio, And you should have heard those players react when Vlad Jr. hit that ball, because they knew with the crack of the bat that this was going to be a home run. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. joins his father among the ranks of those to homer in the All-Star game. Father and son combos, Barry and Bobby Bonds. Barry homered in the All-Star game in 1998 and 2002. Bobby homered in 1973. And, of course, the Griffeys, Ken Griffey Jr. 1992, Ken Griffey Sr. in 1980. The American League extended their lead to 4-0 in the fifth.
Lefty fires, swing and a ground ball right side, and that'll get through. Around third, coming in to score is Mullins. It's an RBI single through that right side hole, and the AL adds another. It's now 4-0.
Really interesting. The American League pitching only generated 3 strikeouts in that game last night, but generally they dominated. The National League finally dented the scoreboard in the fifth.
Here's a 1-1. Swing and a ball drilled center field. Mullins back, racing back, looking, gone! Into the bullpen in right center field. JT Realmuto will touch them all.
We heard you last time when you said he doesn't hit for much power.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the shimmering glove bothered him all that much. National League on the board, and it is 4-1.
Chris Singleton chiming in there on ESPN Radio. Mike Zunino of the Rays hit a home run that was derby worthy in the top of the sixth.
The pitch. Swing and a ball drilled in the air right field. That one back. That one on its way. That's gone. Home run. Mike Zunino the opposite way. I think it made the first row of that second deck out there. 433, an opposite field homer for Zunino. And it's now a 5-1 American League lead.
The National League had 2 opportunities to get back into the game. And in both cases, Chris Bryant came to the plate with the bases loaded the second time in the bottom of the 8th inning. And this is what happened.
Swing and a ball lined left field. Walsh coming on, sliding, and he makes the catch. Oh, boy. That one saved at least a couple of runs. Jared Walsh out in left field steals a hit from Chris Bryant and a huge play. And the National League leaves him loaded.
And this is someone who has never played a game in left field in the regular season. He played 17 games in left field in the minor leagues. So the American League wins the All-Star game. For the American League, that's 8 straight years that they've won the game. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was named the MVP. During the course of the broadcast, Tim Kirkjian and I got to catch up with some players. He spoke with Fernando Tatis Jr.
Fernando, how have you enjoyed your first All-Star experience?
It's been amazing. It's been amazing. Just being around, there's so many talents, the best baseball player of the world. You just want to make you get better and just appreciate it and just have fun.
What was it like facing Shohei Ohtani to start the All-Star game?
It was great. It was great. I feel like that's going to be a really good part of my history, of my career, and that's something that I really embrace, something that I really look forward to it, and just happy to be here and to be having this moment.
Fernando, thank you. Back to you.
So a big pregame cheer went out for Bo Bichette, who was the son of Dante Bichette, who was a star for the Rockies for years. But the biggest cheer pregame, no doubt about it, came from Nolan Arenado when he was introduced and then when he batted in the first inning, and Tim caught up with him.
Nolan, you got 2 huge ovations tonight. How did that make you feel?
It made me feel great. It's just great coming back here with my family and the fans. You know, it's great that they remember the good things now that happened. You know, the last few years were tough here, and it's great for them to just appreciate what I did, and I appreciate them because I try to play as hard as I can for them and put on a show for them, and to see them appreciate it and appreciate me, it means the world to me.
What was it like facing Shohei Ohtani in the first inning?
It was great. I mean, he threw a couple hot ones to me. I think it was like a couple 99-100, but it had a little cut to it and like kind of took off, but obviously a plus fastball. And just a really good pitcher and a great player. I mean, he does everything, you know. So he's a special player, and I'm happy he's in the major leagues.
Nolan, thanks for joining us. Back to you.
Aaron Judge made a great catch during the course of this game, and he scored the first run of the game, which led to a really weird moment for me. I talked to Aaron Judge during the game.
Aaron, so much focus on Shohei Ohtani during those 2 days, the derby, the hitting, pitching. What'd you see?
That's generational talent right there. He's a humble kid, hardworking, all the talent in the world to be able to do what he does at the major league level like that, to be able to pitch 100 miles an hour, hit balls 500 feet, it's incredible. Never seen anything like it.
What did you see in Vladimir Guerrero Jr. tonight?
Oh, what I've been seeing all year, you know, especially playing him in division, man. Just, you know, you leave a mistake over the middle, he's going to deposit it in the seats. And, you know, that's what he does. So, you know, he's getting RBIs, driving guys in. It's pretty impressive.
Okay, when you scored your run, you're coming through the American League dugout. You're high-fiving everybody. I'm in the American League dugout. You look at me like, of course you're going to give me a high five. For me, at my size, pretty intimidating moment.
Yeah, just got to get everybody. Hey, we're all in the same dugout. We're all on the same team, you know, so I had to get everybody, you know, dab them up a little bit and show some love.
Aaron, thanks.
Yeah, so I got to talk to Dave Schoenfield and get some therapy about that moment and get some advice from Taylor about what I should have done in that spot and what I should do going forward. But before we get to all that, think about this. Relive one of the greatest icons and most successful teams in sports history. Michael Jordan and the 1997-98 Chicago Bulls. Stream the Emmy and NAACP Image Award-winning series, The Last Dance, on ESPN+. And check out the latest episode of The Right Time with Bomani Jones. Bubba applauds Giannis for fighting through his poor free throw shooting during the NBA playoffs and questions if there's any pride left in Olympic basketball after Team USA's recent losses. Listen to The Right Time wherever you get your podcast.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Welcome to the show!
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, mate.
Welcome to the show. Whoa!
Welcome to the show, baby.
You're in the show with David Schoenfield.
David Schoenfield covers baseball for ESPN. And Dave, I need your help on something, okay? We had a little dugout etiquette situation, reporter etiquette situation with Aaron Judge last night in the ballpark. And I'm still trying to sort out how I should have reacted to it. So you ready to go?
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay. So he scores the first run of the All-Star game yesterday, and the American League dugout was very active. That's where I was working for ESPN Radio. I'm at the very, very end of the dugout. It tucked away in the absolute corner. But Judge scores. The American League dugout's going crazy. He comes down the steps on the far side from the opposite side of where I was, and he just comes down the line, and he's high-fiving everybody, right? He's high-fiving all the players. He's high-fiving the staff. He high-fives some security cops who are sitting, like, midway through. He's high-fiving everybody. He high-fived a couple of Fox techs, and I'm the last person in line. I'm standing there just in the corner, and he just looks at me like, you're in the American League dugout, and I'm high-fiving everybody, which means that I need to give you five as well. And so I stuck out my hand. I felt like I was, you know, I was in his territory. I needed to do that. What do you think?
Wow. We might have to take your BBWA card away after that. Although, we used to work with a reporter who might have high-fived a player once or twice in his Hall of Fame career. We will not mention Peter Gammons' name, but that might have happened to him once or twice. But, boy, that's a tough one. You're in the moment. You don't have time to think it through.
Well, and are you gonna be the one? I mean, you know, as they say, I'm like in their space. That's the way I was thinking about it. You know, I don't normally, like, when I do the Sunday night broadcasting stuff, I'm outside of the dugout. Like, I'm in a photo well. I'm in a camera well. In this case, because of how this is set up, I'm actually in the dugout, right? And everyone there, it's he's all fired up. He's got the energy going. And he just looks at me, and I'm like, you know, it's like when someone comes up to give you a hug. What are you going to do, walk away when someone's coming up to give you a hug?
Yeah, I remember years ago, I'd never met him before. It was during batting practice. Derek Bell comes up to me and just out of nowhere gives me a big sweaty hug. And I'm like, okay, I don't know how I'm supposed to respond to that. But, yeah, look, I think we'll give you a pass on this one, Buster. I mean, as long as Aaron Judge didn't hurt you, I mean, he's 6'7", 280 or whatever. I mean, you got to make sure you didn't, you know, break a finger or something with that high five.
Well, and that's what I said to him during the interview in game. Like, you know, for me, that's an intimidating moment. At 5'7", this guy's coming to me at 6'7", 282, and he's looking to get, you know, he's looking for five. And I'm not going to, what are you going to say? No? Taylor, you want to jump in? Any thoughts?
Oh, Buster, you have to go for it. I mean, you can't not go for it. It's Aaron Judge. He wants high five. I understand that your personal safety is at risk, but you got to do it.
And that's what I did. Guilty as charged. No doubt about it. I'm going to have to ask Tim Kirchner about it when he comes on with us next. Although, as I said at the top of the show, I don't even know if we're going to be worthy of having him on the show anymore, because as we found out yesterday, he's been nominated for the Writers Award at the Hall of Fame, along with the late Marty Noble, who wrote for Newsday, and Alan Simpson, who's done such great work for Baseball America. I suspect, as someone said at the baseball writers meeting yesterday, I wasn't there, but this story was related back to me. Who's going to vote against Tim Kirchner, Dave?
Yeah.
When his name's on the ballot.
Well, look, I've been lucky enough, you know, back when I was an editor to edit Peter and Jason Stark. So to work with two Hall of Famers has been one of the thrills of my lifetime, and to work potentially with another one. Nobody's more deserving. My wife works at ESPN, and she sent me a video, the one we posted on the site, of him dancing with JoJo Siwa the other day. And my wife said, Tim Kirchner is a national treasure. And that is the best way to put it. I mean, we love baseball, but I don't know if anybody loves baseball as much as Tim. And everything he's done in this sport, from his days, you know, covering it as a newspaper writer to now, you know, I love when him and Eduardo do broadcast together. I think that's as good a TV crew as exists in the game. So, yes, Tim is a national treasure.
Yeah, I'm very excited for him. Not going to tell him that to his face. Of course, had to make fun of him on when we talked about it on ESPN radio last night. You know, I mentioned that he'd been nominated, and then I asked the question during his speech, was he going to talk about TikTok dancing, which is what he attempted to do the other day. Was that going to be part of his, you know, resume for getting into the hall? I suspect that that'll be a really cool and memorable speech when he gives it, and I would assume it's going to be next year after the votes are all tabulated. That's going to be announced at the winter meetings in December. So, All-Star game last night, what jumped out for you?
Well, look, you know, was it an all-time classic game? No, you know, but it was a fun game. Vladimir Guerrero's home run was a monster shot. You know, the Fox broadcast, they try to make the most of it. You know, they mic up the players. That worked pretty well. Freddie Freeman, of course, was probably the best one, calling himself short. When Aaron Judge drew a walk and was standing next to him, of course,
Freddie Freeman could feel my pain. Like, Freeman knows what I was dealing with in that situation, but go ahead.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, Freddie, I mean, boy, he has a career broadcasting. If he wants it when he retires, you know, Shohei, good to see him with that 1-2-3 inning. You know, yeah, technically he gets the win, you know, and look, I know by the end of the game, there's a lot of players we don't consider all-stars in the game, but seeing all Shohei, Vladimir Guerrero, Fernando Tatis, it is a reminder of all this great young talent we have in the game right now.
And I wanted to specifically follow up. Tell me about the microphones more, because again, doing the game on ESPN radio, I wasn't hearing about any of that, but I know there was a lot of reaction to Liam Hendricks on social media because some of his cuss words got through. The sound, it sounded like, and, you know, a number of other players were mic'd up from what I saw, Chris Bryant, Ozzie Albies, et cetera.
Yeah, Hendricks, who I gathered he couldn't hear Joe Buck and John Smoltz, but we could hear his microphone. And yeah, he let out one of his curveballs. He spiked it in the dirt, and he let out a cuss word that was clear as day. They did not bleep it out. You know, and of course, he's great. You know, Australian, he has the accent. You heard him talking a little bit. You know, at one point, I think he got a strikeout, and he, you know, he wanted to save the ball as a souvenir so you could hear him, you know, hey, save this ball. I want to authenticate it or whatever. You know, so that was a highlight. You know, they changed it up every inning with somebody. You know, Tatis was mic'd up when Guerrero hit the home run. So that was fun. I mean, Fernando, he gets it, you know, and you pick that up even in the one inning he was mic'd up. You know, he's there to promote the game. He loves the game. You know, he knows how to play along with this kind of thing, you know. So, yeah, it worked pretty well.
And Shohei Ohtani, what two great days. And it's interesting because, you know, he didn't win the home run derby. He actually was knocked out in the first round, which was less than I think what a lot of people expected. He pitched an inning. He didn't strike anybody out. He had two plate appearances. He didn't get any hits, but there's no question, Dave, that the star of the 2 days was Shohei Ohtani. And before our broadcast yesterday, you know, we talked with Dave Roberts and Kevin Cash, the two managers, and both of them were just going on and on and on about how great Ohtani has been. You know, behind the scenes, signing, you know, baseballs for other players, signing pictures for other players, posing for other players for selfies. A cool moment that I saw in the dugout last night, right in front of me, Ohtani came back into the dugout like in the fifth, sixth inning. He did that interview with Fox. He did something on TV in Japan as well. And then a couple of the players there tried to grab him for pictures. Teoscar Hernandez appeared, from what I could gather, he got somebody on FaceTime, and it was like a big surprise. Hey, look who's standing next to me. It's Ohtani. And Ohtani's making faces into the phone. He's having a great time. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who asked Marley Rivera, our colleague, to introduce him to Ohtani, came down and gave Ohtani a big hug. And they were saying goodbye to each other before they went on their ways. It absolutely engendered the respect of so many people with the way he handled everything the last 2 days.
Yeah, no doubt. I was going to bring up Marley's tweet, you know, telling the story of how Guerrero shyly asked her to introduce. But you know this, Buster, when you talk to players about other players, and though if you say, hey, is so-and-so a great player, and they'll kind of reluctantly go along with the question. But it seemed to me, and I wasn't there, but from afar, the not just the respect, but the awe other players in the sport are holding Ohtani for what he's doing right now. I've never seen it on that level.
Nope.
You know, not just, you know, sign my ball, sign my jersey, but just what he's doing. It is. It's so unbelievable. Even major league players who see greatness every day are in awe. That's how great he's been. So yeah, he didn't win it. He didn't get a hit. He's the star of the show. Absolutely.
I tried to make that point on Twitter a couple weeks ago. I don't think I wrote it very well about one of the cool things that I've seen this year is how other people in the game are willing to give Ohtani credit for what he's doing, because I think you'll absolutely agree with me that for years, if somebody like Ohtani came along, or, you know, someone was trying to do something different, like, there would be a reflex within the sport to not give that person credit. I'll never forget. I'm not going to use the person's name because I don't want to, you know, make it seem like this person was any different than anybody else. But I remember I wrote a piece in the first couple of months of Mike Trout's career in which I quoted an executive anonymously. It was, you know, I asked him later. I said, hey, do you mind if I use your name? He said, yeah, no problem. It was Billy Beane, the general manager of the Athletics at the time. He said, Mike Trout's the best player in the game, and you know, not only on his team, but he's the best player in baseball overall. And he made a player comparison. I can't remember who it was. It might have been Mickey Mantle or something like that. And I mentioned this to a major league manager, and he scoffed. I mean, just absolutely. And it was that reflexive. Now, that's ridiculous. The guy's only been in the big leagues for 6 weeks and you're comparing it. I'm like, no, that's not really the point. And what's been so cool is with Ohtani, there's been none of that. There's been this absolute immediate embrace and understanding and appreciation of what he's doing.
Yeah, well, certainly this year, although I went back recently and was reading a lot of the stories from his first spring training, and he was struggling at the plate, and there were a lot of scouts, you know, and these are people in the game saying he'll never hit. You know, even Jeff Passan had a mea culpa the other day. I guess he wrote a column the other day saying this is too hard. You know, Ohtani's not going to be able to do this. Although I remember, I'm not trying to say I'm an expert here, but the first time I saw him, I'm like, holy cow, look at that bat speed. That was so obvious. His numbers in Japan when he hit were terrific. He had one of the highest OPSs in the league over there. So I'm like, all this adds up to, I think this guy can hit. And, you know, certainly those who initially doubted him, he's proven them wrong. And without a doubt, the players and managers more directly in the game, you know, he's proven, you know, those doubters wrong as well over the last few years. And look, he's on pace to hit 61 home runs. I mean, again, it's just absolutely incredible.
Everyone who talked about him talked about how humble he was and how much joy he seemed to be drawing out of this. And as Dave Roberts and Kevin Cash complimented him, it really jumped out at me that it felt like there was this undercurrent of, isn't it great that Ohtani is appreciating these 2 days? And then what was unspoken was, in a way that other players did not, by not coming to the All-Star game. Here was our friend Paul Imbakaitis on with Mike Greenberg yesterday, and it was kind of a Hembo-style rant. Give a listen.
I'm not willing to give them a pass. This, when I first started reading the stories over the weekend of all the players opting out, it boiled my blood, and I'm still not over it. I'm still not over it. When did the players decide to stop caring about the fans as much as the fans care about them? You often say, why should I care about the games if you don't yourself, in talking about NBA load management? That's how I feel about this. We take this game we have, Greeny, for granted, but it was built on the backs of giants. I've talked to Cal Ripken before about how he would stay past midnight at Camden Yards after the player strike and sign autographs until he couldn't sign them anymore. Roberto Clemente, every waking moment of his life, it seemed, was doing whatever he could to build the game of baseball in Latin America. In 1927, Babe Ruth played 207 games, including all the exhibitions and his barnstorming tours, plus a regular season. Baseball is now a $10 billion behemoth, but baseball fundamentally is something of a grassroots success story. And behind every story, and behind every fan like me, is a catch with your dad in the backyard and learning of your favorite player. And seeing that player, for me, that player is Cal Ripken Jr. This is a game, Greeny, that provides players the opportunity for generational wealth. All I'm asking is to pay it forward. I'm not asking Jacob deGrom to stay till midnight and sign autographs or to fly medical supplies to Nicaragua or to go play barnstorming tour from Biloxi to Dubuque or wherever. I'm just asking you to play in the freaking All-Star game that the fans elected you to. They're the only ones that matter, so pay it forward.
And I got to tell you, it surprised me how that sentiment that Hemo just uttered right there was absolutely reflected in the feelings of so many, not only staffers, but there were players there, Dave, that I spoke with, that I know Marley spoke with, who felt the same way. What do you think?
Yeah, no, it's a great point. I was telling Taylor before we were waiting for you to get hooked up here. I've covered 11 All-Star games, I think, and I wasn't there this year, but I always try to make a point to walk around the stadium and see the fans and even talk to some of the fans. And you got to remember, A, it costs a lot of money to go to these games. So for a lot of fans, this is their big outing event of the year. They take their kids, they buy their swag, you know, their souvenirs. They spend a lot of money to go, whether it's the Derby or the All-Star game. And for players, for those who shun that, they are disregarding and they're disrespecting the fans. Who, this is a big, big deal for a lot of the fans who get to go to an All-Star game. And that's why Manfred, the commissioner, always does call it a crown jewel event. It's for the fans, and remember that, you know. And so that's why it was discouraging this year to see so many players opt out.
And fans are responding. We got the Derby, Home Run Derby television rating came out yesterday, 7.1 million. That's a huge number for the Derby. And it was up like 15%, you know, 20%, something in that range. And then last night, you know, the ballpark was filled. It'll be interesting to see what the rating is for Fox. And as you say, and I agree with you, it was kind of a dud game in terms of the flow of it and how it was played. But, you know, people are tuned in, for example, and he's going to get probably the most scrutiny because he's the best player who chose not to play. But Jacob DeGrom is the best pitcher we've ever seen in this moment. And I had a longtime pitcher say to me last night, someone who Jacob DeGrom knows well, say, he needs to be here. Like, he's the best pitcher in this moment, and he needs to be here, even if it's just to stand on the sideline and wave and let people see him on the Crown Jewel event. All right. So yesterday, Rob Manfred spoke with Baseball Writer Association, as did Tony Clark. And Rob made some news by coming out and saying that for 2022, those rules that we've had in place the last 2 years, runner at second base to start in the 10th inning, seven inning doubleheaders, those will go away next year. And as soon as I heard this, Dave, I thought, negotiating ploy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he knows that the players potentially will want to keep some of these rules in place to limit the number of innings where they're on their feet, or the inning of the relievers being overtaxed. It's interesting because I think that increasingly teams like these rules as well. It reminds me of sort of the evolution of thought around the designated hitter. But this was Rob Manfred setting up this as a negotiating chip. That was my instinct. What did you think?
That was my thought, because I was kind of surprised, because, you know, going back to last year and calling in on Zoom calls with managers, you know, maybe they're just trying to toe the company line. But managers certainly seem to like the extra inning rule. They hate those long games when they burn through their bullpens. You know, we've had so many rainouts in the Northeast this year, especially. We've had a lot of doubleheaders. You know, players and managers like being there for 14 innings rather than 18. So, yeah, it does sound like a negotiating ploy. I think it's probably an understandable move on Manfred's part. You know, at the same time, I think most diehard fans would love to ditch the rules. I don't see a lot of love for them. You know, the extra inning rule, runner on second, doesn't bother me so much. The seven inning games, those bother me a little more, you know. But, yeah, we'll see. You know, I'm kind of good with whatever happens with those rules.
Yeah, and I think that they will, in some form, there'll be something that limits the number of innings that we're going to see in extra innings. Some sort of mechanism put in place, because that is a big conversation among teams where they feel like, you know what, these 15, 18 inning games, those are kind of silly.
Yeah.
And I think everyone, you know, has some influence at the team level, will probably be pushing that conversation going forward. All right, Dave, thanks for getting up early with me on a Wednesday morning.
All right. You bet, Buster.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Buster. Just go to Indeed.com/Buster right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Buster. Terms and conditions apply.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for Baggage Claim Wednesday. And I actually have a theory about Tim Kirkshin. He's not, you know, speaking up about this tremendous honor. I think he's laying low after that JoJo Siwa TikTok dance. I think he did an amazing job, but I think he's trying to avoid some shrapnel from that. What do you think? Did you see the dance?
I have seen the dance. I think it's better than the birthday dance, the wedding dance that he did a few years ago. Part of my pregame strategy yesterday as I was getting ready to talk to him was to try to figure out the question most likely to make him cry. Okay, when we were talking about his Hall of Fame nomination, and I had the perfect question for him. And then, as it turned out, he had to stay on television long, so I couldn't do that interview. I think next Monday I'm going to try to make that happen.
Wow. All right. Let's see if we can get some tears from old Timmy. Let's go to the tweets. Tom Weibel at Weibel _ Tom writes in, so the All-Star Game uniforms aren't as ugly as some people made them out to be. I understand wanting to see your team's jersey represented, but my 18-year-old daughter liked them. MLB needs this demographic. This seems like an outlier take from Tom and his daughter. What do you think?
It's so funny, Tom. I got a text message from my son, who's 17 years old, who's also in that same demographic that your daughter's in. My son, Tom, said he liked those uniforms.
Wow. Interesting.
I don't know. Maybe we're just getting old, Taylor. Maybe we're just, our tastes aren't in keeping. But my son, Tom Weibel's 18-year-old daughter, liked the uniforms. I'm kind of checking myself.
Yeah, must be something to it. Last one for the day. Eric Johnson at ET Johnson 1 writes in, Buster, not to be that guy, but why did Davey Martinez get snubbed from the All-Star coach roster without recognition after winning a legitimate World Series and Dave Roberts, who won a 60-game season, got to coach? There could have been a nod to him.
Yeah, and the one thing that I don't know the answer to is whether or not at some point Dave Roberts reached out to Dave Martinez and said, hey, you know, would you be interested in being a coach? Those conversations happen a lot where the person might say, you know what? I've already got 3 days scheduled in Antigua or maybe going to Alaska or wherever it is. That would be my question about whether or not Dave reached out to Davey Martinez to offer him that spot. I agree with that. I think it's a fair point that you wish it Davey Martinez had that moment to be, you know, part of an all-star coaching staff. But also keep in mind, too, he did get to do that in 2017 after he was the bench coach for Joe Maddon of the 2016 Cubs. And in 2009, he got to go to the All-Star game on Joe Maddon's staff when he was with the Tampa Bay Rays.
Is Davey Martinez skipping the All-Star game bad for baseball? My rant next podcast. Just kidding. Please keep writing in hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter. And please follow, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I thought Hembo did a good job with that.
Yeah, I thought
Hembo was very eloquent in making the case. What'd you think, Taylor?
Oh yeah, I loved it. I could tell he was getting fired up. So the fact that he was able to, you know, keep himself in check with a little bit and get everything out smoothly and poignantly, he did a great job. I'm glad that we played the auto. I caught it yesterday, and happy for my guy Hembo.
And I'll tell you, and I'll say it again, it's not only media types like me and Hembo who are saying this about players going to the All-Star game. It's other players who will feel that way. And that's why you wish that there was more, you know, more communication among the players where they pull together and say, look, this is an event we need to make great together. That's it for today. My thanks to Dave and Taylor. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.